You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on? This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. Over here to the right, as my personal mic stand, is one President Zachary Taylor. I'm Travis Brown with MyAggieNation.com, but the real important person here is the guy sitting across the table from me. That is Logan Foster of the Fightin' Texas Aggie baseball team. Logan, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Beautiful weather outside. Couldn't ask for a better day.
Exactly. So, probably not necessarily the start that y'all were hoping for to the SEC slate. Kind of what's been different? What have y'all been focusing on coming out of non-conference and over the last couple of weeks? And kind of what's been the focuses in moving on from where y'all are now?
You know, you're definitely right. Like everyone knows, things haven't really gone our way. One day it's something, and then the other day it's something else. But, I think we saw some light to it Sunday when we were in Georgia. We finally put everything together and being able to make all the parts be in sync. And I think that's going to be a big step for us going forward, and everything's going to click for us.
As you said, it always seems like it's one thing or the other. It seems like whenever the pitching is on, then the bats are cooled off. And then when the bats are hot, the pitching is cooled off a little bit. But like you mentioned against Georgia, it seemed like everything had kind of clicked together in that last game.
Yeah, for sure. We just gotta stay within ourselves, not try to do too much, and just go out, and when you're in the box, think of it as a one-on-one fight with you and the pitcher, and same thing when you're on the mound and thinking that you're going to go attack this guy and you're going to give him your best stuff and see if he can hit it.
Well, you personally, might should have started off with this, but you personally, obviously from Lincoln, so it's a long ways away to Nebraska to come all the way down here. And I know that you've known Coach Childers since you were a baby, but was that a little difficult to travel that far from home to come down here?
Last year, it was definitely really difficult. I mean, knowing Coach Childers, I thought it'd be easier, but I'm definitely a family guy, and being away from home for 12 hours, and there was definitely times where I got homesick. But this year, having Michael Hellman and Nolan Hoffman down here and them being my roommates, it's made things a lot easier. And having not only familiar faces here at the field, but also when you go home at night, too.
So that being said, do y'all just hang out and do Nebraska stuff together? I mean, what difference is there between college kids in Nebraska versus college kids in Texas?
I mean, there's not really a difference. It's just the relationship that I had prior with Nolan and Mike. Like, I've known them since I was little and grew up playing against them. And just that pre-relationship with them, it's made things a lot easier this year and feel more comfortable.
Gotcha. Yeah, so a little bit more of an expanded role, or at least a little bit more of a consistent role for you this year. What's it been like in your second season, and kind of knowing that you're now one of the real key pieces to everything that's going on here?
Last year, I think my biggest problem was I was trying to prove that I belonged. With that being said, I went off to summer ball, and coaching staff changed my hitting stance, my whole offensive ways of doing things right before I left for summer ball, and told me to go figure out at summer ball. And that was a big maturing point for me over the summer. And I also got back to not trying to do too much and trying to perform at such a high level, but just going back to loving the game and being able to do the same thing every single day.
Where were you at in summer ball? Northwoods, or
I was in the Northwoods. I played for the Wisconsin Woodchucks out of Wausau.
Okay, how was that experience going up to Wisconsin, spending the summer?
I was with Hunter Coleman, so had a familiar face with me. But it definitely gives you a little taste of what minor league ball is like, with the 9-hour bus rides and getting off a bus and playing, and then coming back late, and then turn around and playing the next day. And it was definitely a grind, but it was good for both of us.
Mentions on here something about that you're the vice president for Stand for the Silent. Is that something that you still do or did, or what is that?
I did that my freshman and sophomore year in high school. It was basically like a big organization that's like nationwide for bullying, to prevent bullying. We had a guy come in and talk to our whole school about how his son had been bullied, and he ended up committing suicide. And basically, we started a program at our high school to show awareness of bullying and ways that we can help prevent it, and other ways to have people who are going through those situations be able to speak out and talk to other people.
So heading into this series this weekend, what is you mentioned the Sunday kind of everything coming together. Is there any kind of specific focus that y'all have, or what is y'all's thought process moving on forward from here?
You know, with everything clicking on Sunday, we've had two or three great good practices like this week, and basically we're going to do what we've been doing all year, and that's keeping our heads down, keeping our blinders on, not looking ahead to the end goal or who's the next week, and just focus on the day at hand and trying to win the day.
You know, you mentioned practice, and I know it's easy for the casual sports fan to see how after a tough football game, the team can go back and work on their plays and work on their, you know, stuff like that, or in basketball or anything like that. What actually does go on in that during the season baseball practice, and what adjustments can you make? It seems like baseball is such a sport that so much happens before the season, and that the tweaking is a little bit more difficult.
You know, with baseball, like, it's not like football. So, say you lose on a Saturday in football, you have to wait a whole week to come back out and play. With baseball, you get to turn around and redeem yourself the next day, and that's the same thing with practice. Say you don't finish off on the right foot on the weekend, and you can turn around and either you can come out with a bad attitude or not the right energy for Monday practice, or you can come out and have great energy and try to get better. Practice also gives you the opportunity, say you make a mistake in the weekend or even in practice, you can turn around and have another rep right then and there and make the correction and learn from your mistakes, which you don't really get to do in many other sports.
It seems like with the other sports too, you know, you're kind of man on man. Like in basketball, you've got this guy, and football same way, but with baseball, you're taking on nine other dudes on the other team.
Yeah, with baseball, basically what it comes down to is you got to look out for the guys to your left and to your right, and don't think of it as like an ice sport. It's for your brothers, and you're going to compete for whoever's next to you.
Do y'all keep tabs very much on the rest of the SEC and kind of what the standings look like around? And is it what's going on right now a little bit surprising with kind of who's on top and who's struggling and everything like that?
It's definitely crazy. The SEC is having an unbelievable year for baseball. I think there's five or six teams that are in the top 25, and last year, I think there was only probably three or four that were in the top 25. And, you know, a lot of us come down here to play in the SEC because it's the best conference in the country, and you're going to see great, great teams every single weekend. So it's to an extent, it's surprising compared to last year, but it's what you come down here for.
I want to say one of the rankings, 10 of you guys, 10 teams were in the top 25 in one of the rankings. So, yeah, that's almost unprecedented. That being said, how big would a series win against LSU be this weekend?
A series win would be huge for us right now. It'd definitely give us the momentum going into next week and just keep building off of it. Putting wins together is definitely something that can boost a team through the roof. And, I mean, you saw it last year. We had a big weekend series win against LSU following the Vanderbilt series where we didn't play too hot, and it set the tone for the rest of our season last year.
With what y'all have gone through and with a pretty young team, who are some of the kind of leaders and vocal leaders that have maybe stepped in either before the season or through this time to kind of help carry the team?
Some of the leaders that have really stepped in as a big role on this team, guy from last year who was a leader as well was Kaylor Chafin. He set the tone on the mound last year, and this year he's doing the same thing. And then you got Braden Shoemake, who was a freshman last year and just unbelievable talent, and he's honestly a great kid. And guys, he's an easy guy to talk to, so guys feel comfortable going and talking to him. Another one is Michael Hellman, JUCO transfer, definitely can play all parts of the game, and just the way that he goes about his business, and he works hard. He reminds me a lot of Ryan Burke, and he's definitely another guy that's easy to talk to.
You know, there's a lot of guys on this team that have impressive resumes, whether they be transfers or guys who are coming back for another year. Is there one in particular you think's been most impressive this year?
Honestly, Michael Hellman. Just the way that he goes about his business, and I mean, he works hard in the weight room, in the cages. No matter what it is, he's going to give you 110%. And as you can see, the results from it definitely pays off for him for what he does. And just the way that he competes at the plate, it's something I've never seen. And, I mean, I grew up playing against him and always knew that he was good. But just the way that he's played this year has been unbelievable.
Slugger Logan Foster, one more question, Logan, before we let you go. How tall are you? Just how tall are you?
On a good day, 5'10".
There you go.
Maybe 5'9.5".
All right, just double checking on that. We every now and then you can fudge the numbers a little bit. You can be about 6 foot or so.
I don't know anything about that.
I know you wouldn't. Texas A&M slugger outfielder Logan Foster. Logan, thanks so much, man. Good luck this weekend. Okay.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, guys, that'll wrap up our visit with Logan. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Aggie baseball. We'll talk about plenty of other stuff. All that more coming up on the My Aggie Nation podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown, friend of the show, joining us once again, righty Corbin Martin. And Corbin, you guys went down to the University of Houston, and I would think, well, first off, I want to ask you, and I know lots of folks probably already asked this, but how nervous were you on selection day? I mean, I know the past couple of years you guys have been pretty much a shoe-in, but with this year, things were kind of coming down to the wire.
Yeah, we were a little antsy, especially going one and done in the SEC tournament. We had a long wait ahead, so we practiced every day, you know, try to get our mind off it, and practice like we were already in, you know. So we had a couple of days of good practice, and when the day came, you know, everyone's antsy, especially the older guys. Just being in the last 2 years, we knew it was whether we were going to be a national seed or not. So just a little, I want to say pressure, but the building up and seeing our name called, that's all we needed, and we took the most of it, had a really good week of practice, and we were fortunate to win 3 games.
So was there something to prove going down to Houston then that kind of proved that, oh, yeah, we belong and we probably belong? It probably shouldn't have been as close to the wire as it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Once we were in, we were like, you know what, whoever we play, we were not going to feel sorry for beating them. You know, it's a new season out there. Everyone's 0-0 just playing for something. Like Davidson, exactly the same way. You know, they weren't looking at who they were playing. They're just like, okay, it's another ball game. So they're a really good ball club coming in, and can't look past them at all.
Well, that being said, with you guys going down to Houston, except obviously hosting a regional, I don't think you could have asked for much better, because obviously a ton of Ags and a lot of you guys are from down there in Houston.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was like playing at home for a lot of us guys. We're either from Houston or Dallas, and so it's pretty neat. You know, I'm from the Houston area, just being around, being at home. You know, and it was almost like we were playing home games. You know, I think it felt like we had more fans than the other two teams did, and you know, it was one of those deals that we got lucky enough to get the Houston draw.
Their leadoff hitter, Wong, there in that last game, Houston's leadoff hitter, there in that last inning, really rope one down the line. Yeah. From your perspective, how nervous were you?
Yeah, I was sitting in the dugout right down the third base line. I watched the whole thing happen. I said, this can't, like, it was one of those things I thought I was gone. So I'm like, oh, no, we're about to play another game. 4-0 lead going into the ninth, and we just blew it. But you know, it hooked foul, and after that, there's a saying that if you hit a foul home run, you're either going to strike out or hit another one. So it was a 50-50 chance out there. But you know, with Sherrod on the mound, you have all the belief in the world that he was going to get him out, and he did. And you know, it was nice coming out of Houston with 3-0 wins, and playing in close games like that and getting wins is definitely the big key.
So how closely, and we heard a little bit from some of the other guys after the game, but how closely were you and the team following what was going on in Chapel Hill, and especially that final game where Davidson beat North Carolina?
Oh yeah, we were definitely watching. We knew that the Houston Regional was in our hands. You know, it was just we had to go out and play our best baseball. We knew Houston was a really, really, really good club coming in, maybe one of the top hitting teams we played all year. And when we saw that Davidson won, you know, we had to focus more on the game and not, oh, man, we're already going to play back at home, and we knew we had to win a game Monday. So, you know, it was definitely exciting after we won that game, knowing that we were coming back, and some for the seniors that they get to play at Olsen again, because they had thought a couple weeks ago they'd never get to play there. So it was pretty cool.
I do want to talk a lot about this Supers coming up here in a second, but you started the year in the pen as back into the bullpen kind of guy, have worked your way back into starting form, and it seems like you're going longer and longer innings. I know I asked you before, you know, against Iowa on Saturday you went 7, you went 8 innings against Arkansas towards the end of the regular year. So do you feel like your arm is getting stronger and you're able to go longer into ball games?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting healthier as the year goes on, but I also feel like I'm pitching and not throwing. Yeah. You know, throughout the year I've learned a lot of things, and Coach and I have, you know, just created a repetitive, like, deal where I go out there and, like, I just repeat that. And for me, I feel like I get better as the game goes on. You know, the first couple innings, I kind of feel it out. I shouldn't be doing that, but I've noticed that a couple times, and it helps when you have a defense behind you like that. You know, we only made two errors this weekend, which pitching defense can win a lot of games. And for a pitcher to have that behind you, it's a lot more comforting.
Now, coming into this Supers, talking about Davidson, a team that was kind of the David to UNC's Goliath, and they're able to beat them. How much do you know about Davidson? Do you even know where it's at?
Yeah, Davidson, North Carolina.
Okay.
They're a really good team. It's a team you cannot look past. Big, physical, older team. I think they have 18, 19 older guys, junior, seniors. So when they step in the box, you know, they have a big presence. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by that, but they're going to come to play. They definitely came to play in UNC and beat really good teams up there, like really good hitting teams, and, you know, only gave up one run, I think, three times that whole weekend. So maybe twice, but, you know, they're going to come pitch, and they're going to swing the sticks. You know, I think they have 70 home runs this year, and it's just something that as a pitching staff we're going to have to do a good job of attacking and mixing speeds, and you know our hitters are going to be clutch like always, and we take care of business at home. That's the biggest thing, is that we're playing at home, so we have the advantage right there.
Their ace, Duren Olinger, is a guy who is, it's already said, he's baseball's not in his future. This is the end for him, and so they've kind of used that to their advantage a little bit to just throw that arm as much as they possibly can. How different is that, and how dangerous is that for, as you know, their offense and as you've seen as pitchers, a guy who really can throw as much as he needs to?
Yeah, I think he started Friday's game, went about 120 pitches against North Carolina, and then he comes back on Sunday and finishes that game. So to have that advantage, you know, have your best guy being able to pitch more than once on a weekend, you know, that's always an advantage, you know, and we got to do a good job as a staff and as our hitters to attack him and try to get him out of the game as early as we can. You know, you let him hang around, he's a guy that can go 7, 8, 9 innings against a really good hitting team like he did, and it's one of those things that, you know, we face that every weekend in the SEC, so we just got to do a good job of staying focused and doing our job.
Again, visiting with Texas A&M righty Corbin Martin. What do you know about their offense? I know they've got one guy, their leading hitter actually, has 18 homers on the year. So what do you know about Davidson's offense?
They're very aggressive. They like to swing the sticks. Like you said, you know, maybe a lot of people might not know a lot about them, but they come out against UNC's Friday night guy who's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft and score 8 runs against them. So they're not an offense that's just going to score 1 or 2 runs a game. They like to swing the sticks, a lot of power in their lineup. You know, they don't really like to run a lot, but, you know, they're gap-to-gap team. They're aggressive. So, I mean, as a pitching staff, that means you got to mix speeds up, get them off balance and stuff like that. You know, we're going to do that, and we've been doing that all year. So, you know, I feel like I would compare them to, like, a Kentucky team, very aggressive. Good approaches. You know, they're not going to swing at bad pitches. They're going to make you pitch to them. And they like to take their walks, too. So we'll see. They're very a mature team, so that always helps.
I'm sure y'all knew exactly what y'all are capable of, and this doesn't surprise you at all. But going back to those practices before the selection show and then looking at where y'all are now actually hosting the Super Regional, is it hard to wrap your mind around just kind of how you got here? Do you have to kind of go back and kind of follow that journey a little bit and kind of – does it surprise you a little bit?
You know, I wouldn't say surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised we're playing at home for a Super Regional, you know. If you look back on it, if we did our job, we could be a national seed playing. You know, it's just one of those things that didn't happen. We had such a good run there in the middle of the season in the SEC, and then we kind of let off the foot off the gas, you know, when it was in our hands. But this is the right time to play good baseball, and I feel like we're doing that right now. And we, you know, we're 2 wins away from, you know, Omaha, but right now we're going to look at Friday as the first game of the season, 1 game at a time, you know, playing our best baseball. And it's always nice to get the first win, you know, especially like in the regional when we won that first game. You just got to take 1 game at a time. You don't want to be looking backwards. But I feel like we definitely have the team to do it, and we're capable of doing it. And we're not thinking about the season. We did what we had to do to get in, and, you know, that's all we can ask for with these guys. And we're going to do what it needs to take this weekend.
The ultimate goal is getting to Omaha and vying for a national championship. Davidson standing in your way of that, but what would it mean for you to get to go to Omaha for the first time?
I mean, like, probably the world to me. You know, there's a lot of guys on this team that have been here for the last 3 years, and the 2 years where we're that close to making it. So we've got a little bitter taste in our mouth, but you can't look all the way to Omaha right now. You got to look at Davidson. They're coming in. They're going to play their best baseball. I mean, everyone plays their best baseball this time of the year, and we got to take Friday first game. That's all we got to think about right now, and Brigham's going to go out there and get us a really good start, and we're going to do what it takes to win.
Third time that y'all been in this position in 3 years. It's a different team this go around, but is there, and last year you were hosting at home as well, is there something that you learned from last year or the past 2 years that y'all as a team are implementing maybe to do differently or to think about differently, and then you individually, what have you learned from this experience that can change things this year?
Oh, I mean, just in the last 2 years we've been so good, you know, and maybe we probably didn't do it, but maybe look too far ahead, you know, thinking that, oh, yeah, Omaha's right in our hands. We just go out there and play instead of playing that game that day of. And I think our team does a really good job of that this year. We may be young, but we also have a lot of experience and older guys that will calm that down. And it was really good, I think, for us to win a lot of close games this weekend. Being able to close those out, you know, that's how I feel like it's going to be this weekend. It'd be nice to, you know, run away with the game, but with that, like, that, the odds of that happening, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, it's one of those things that we come take care of business this weekend, and we're the aggressors, especially at home. It's going to play out for us.
By the way, Travis is a TCU grad, so if you have any pinned-up frustration against the Horned Frogs, feel free to take it on him.
Down.
So I'm just saying, well, he just can't use his throwing hand.
Okay,
he can never hit a Horned Frog with your throwing hand. Something that's different this year, and I've got to ask, is it the power of the stash? You guys going with the stash in the postseason?
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. Who has the best one? Corbin's rocking a pretty solid one. I think a lot of us, well, I mentioned Gutierrez. He shaved his off, but he's like a Venezuelan Tom Selleck. Mm-hmm. And so overall, do you feel like the stash has really given you guys the mojo?
Yeah, we call it the mustache mafia. No, I think it's just us being focused and playing good baseball. You know, at the right time of the season, that's all it takes. It's all nice and fun and games to have the mustache, and we can call it our juju or whatnot. But at the end of the day, whether you have bleached hair or the mustache or whatever, you got to come out and play baseball. So that's what we're going to do.
Who was the first one that kind of came up with this idea that let's all do the mustaches?
I think it was Brigham. Brigham always likes his mustache. He always can rock a good one.
He's got a solid one.
Brigham's always got a good one. So I don't know. It was kind of one of those things that just got brought up, and a lot of guys went with it, and we're doing it. All the coaches bought into it except for Coach Childress. He has a little chin patch too, but no, it's fun.
Which is weird because Coach Childress used to rock the stash,
oh, yeah.
And then I guess he decided to
Maybe he's afraid his hair won't grow back.
Maybe that's what it is. He's a little worried. He's already going a little thin up top, so maybe he's a little worried. Corbin, thanks so much, man. We really do appreciate it. Congrats for you guys getting here, and good luck this weekend. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Just heard from Corbin Martin, right-hander for the Fighting Texas Aggie baseball team. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap it up for you. Again, you're listening to the My Aggie Nation podcast.